My dearly beloved in Christ, during his terrible passion, Christ was bound to a pillar and furiously lashed with rods and scourges because he took upon himself our sins of impurity. And there were three sets of, with two soldiers at a time, torturing him. One could well say that those who are guilty of sins of impurity hired the cruel, barbaric tormentors. Jesus, degraded and torn with savagery, made expiation for our sins of the flesh. We're living in a time which proves that the sin of impurity results in serious social evils. This type of sin very rarely remains a private vice. Father Mateo writes, "Indeed, far worse than the pillar and the scourges are those places of evil and social sin where Christ continues to be scourged piteously." Father Mateo continues by saying, "This frightful scene of outrage in which Jesus is crowned with thorns and covered with blood and wounds is revived 1,000 times a day by the public scandals that take place in all the great centers of worldliness. The spreading of scandal has become a fashionable and elegant custom and an essential social pastime. This is a type of scandal that arises especially in theaters and on television, where license reigns and where the lusts of the flesh are presented in a seductive manner, leading many into sins of the flesh. They show movies which extol excessive violence and monstrous crimes against chastity, marriage, and the Christian home. They spill the blood of Christ, and they do this to make money. They're in the business to amuse the frivolous public, and at the same time, they corrupt it." Father Mateo wrote this in the late 1940s. We can only imagine what he would say of today's society. We live in a totally secularist state which has banished God from the schools, from the government, from the legal system, from the world of scientific research, and from nearly every aspect of society. Most people want no restrictions placed on their lust and greed. They defy God's laws and are a law unto themselves. What makes things worse are the lives of many indifferent and lukewarm Catholics who repeatedly commit mortal sins and live as if they had forgotten Christ altogether. Sadly, very many Catholics are guilty of supporting the immorality of our time by participating in and pouring money into sinful entertainments and indecent fashions. In effect, by their sins against chastity and purity, they speak and act like the very enemies of Christ. Many Catholics have embraced and adopted the sinful ways of the world as their standard. Such lukewarm Catholics cannot be distinguished from pagans because they watch the same immoral and scandalous types of entertainment and wear the same indecent fashions. It's a tragic fact that many Catholic women and young ladies have desensitized their virtue of modesty to the point of buying and wearing the indecent styles of today. Low-cut tops, blouses and dresses, sheer clothing, mini-skirts, short shorts, skirts with long alluring slits, excessively tight-fitting clothing, revealing sportswear, and the currently popular leggings. Our Lady of Fatima told Jacinta, "Certain fashions will be introduced which will gravely offend my divine son." They draw excessive attention to the body in order to incite lust. Such a modest dress compounds the sins of the wearers because it generally causes sin in others who lust after them. Women and girls who dress in such a way will have to answer to God not only for their sins, but also for the sins they cause in others. In order to bring this point home more clearly, let me give you the insight which a world-class supermodel had noted with regard to modern-day styles. Kim Alexis was a supermodel who appeared on more than 500 magazine covers, including Glamour, Vogue, and Sports Illustrated. She was a fashion editor of Good Morning America for 3 years and hosted Healthy Kids and Ticket to Adventure with Kim Alexis on cable TV. In her 1998 book, a model for a better future. Kim shares that as a supermodel, she was constantly asked to compromise her moral standards. There are pictures I look back on today and think, why did I let them talk me into that? I made some choices I'm not proud of. Kim also says in her book that many women are playing with fire in the way they dress. She wrote, dressing like a floozy or a young woman with loose morals tells the world, look at me, want me, lust after me. I'm easy and you can have me. Displaying intimate parts of the body is a form of advertising for sex. So if you dress to attract sexual attention, you can hardly blame anyone else if that kind of attention comes your way. But dressing modestly tells the world, I respect myself, and I insist on being treated with respect. It's a fact that women will be treated according to how they are attired. It's possible, she writes, to be stylish and attractive without wearing something that's skimpy, too tight, too short, low-cut, or see-through. My dearly beloved in Christ, so many Catholic women and teens have totally forgotten the fact that their body is a temple of the Holy Ghost and is thereby of a sacred character. It's hallowed over and over again with the sacraments and blessings of Holy Mother Church and is destined for the miracle of the resurrection and for a place at the throne of God and His angels. By dressing indecently, the sacred temple of the body is thus profaned, in a certain sense similar to one who profanes a church or altar. Sadly, this thought never enters their mind. In addition, a modest attire leads to immodest habits, speech, and actions. By the sixth commandment, women and girls are required to dress modestly so that they're not an occasion of sin to others. Clothing should be Mary-like, meaning that it should conceal rather than reveal the figure of the wearer. It should not unduly emphasize parts of the body. A nun of long ago who taught in an all-girls school used to admonish the girls by saying, do not accentuate the positive. Those who dress in a Mary-like way will not be an occasion of sin, a source of embarrassment, or an object of shame to others. It should be noted that modest dress is not just for church on Sunday. Purity and modesty are not virtues that should be practiced only at certain times or in certain places. They must be present always. One possesses the virtue of purity or she does not. Dressing modestly only when at church is not the gauge of purity. It has to be a total lifestyle. The practice of chastity is not just for women, but it's also for men and boys. Men and boys are absolutely required to guard their eyes, thoughts, and hearts from lust and should at all times avoid immoral magazines, internet sites, movies, video games, music, television shows, and commercials. Moral theologians teach that the most common sins are those against the sixth and ninth commandments. It's tragic that too many Catholic men and boys deliberately place themselves in the proximate occasion of sin by spending both time and money on such sinful pleasures. Some even rationalize their sinful behavior as being part of their manliness, as though it were a sign of maturity. One father who was standing in line for an R-rated movie was surprised to find his young adult son also in the line further back. He went up to him, put his arm around him, and said, my son is finally a man. How twisted can one's reasoning be? Such so-called men fail to take to heart our Lord's words when he said, anyone who so much as looks with lust at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if thy right eye is an occasion of sin, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it's better for thee that one of thy members should perish than that thy whole body should be thrown into hell. By these startling words, Jesus Christ directly addresses men and boys, declaring that staring at females with the deliberate intention of arousing lust is a mortal sin, even if it's not accompanied by sinful actions. Further, our Lord explicitly states that all proximate occasions of sin, however enticing they may be, must be abandoned immediately. Sadly, immodest attire is found nearly everywhere today. Scandalous pictures of scantily dressed women are pictured on the covers of many magazines, at checkout stands, and grocery stores. In addition, captivating pictures of indecent and seductive women have been computer-generated and touched up to perfection and are widely circulated. Whether we go on the internet, watch television or movies, observe advertisement, or even walk through stores, we're faced with scantily clad bodies. In a world saturated with sexual images, we must continually and with the utmost effort control our eyes by quickly turning away from such occasions of sin. We must deliberately not stare at such sinful and indecent images, or if caught unawares, allow them to keep the attention of our eyes or linger in our minds. Men and boys have a serious moral responsibility to avoid sin and practice virtue. This requires self-denial and daily prayer, especially in time of temptation. We must control our eyes and thoughts so that impure images are not given entrance. In addition, we must guard our mind and heart by avoiding all proximate occasions of sin. My dearly beloved in Christ, it's very difficult for men to remain sexually pure because they have the ability to sin either through the sense of sight or by consenting to indecent thoughts just about any time they want with very little effort. Unless they engage in a fierce battle against the lust of the eyes, they will find themselves sinning frequently against the virtue of chastity. When Brother Roger, a Franciscan who was noted for his exceptional purity, was asked why he was so guarded in his looks, especially concerning women, he replied, "If a man shuns the occasion of sin, God protects him. If he deliberately puts himself in danger, the Lord abandons him and easily falls into grievous sin." My dearly beloved in Christ, men must learn to mortify their eyes so that they never stare at a source of temptation. At all costs, avoid a indecent magazine, pornographic websites, indecent movies, television programs, advertisements, and video games. Be very careful with the type of music you listen to and choose it wisely and avoid that which has immoral lyrics. My dearly beloved in Christ, in time of temptation, recite the holy names of Jesus and Mary and continue to pronounce them until the temptation is overcome. Faithfully recite morning and night prayers and pray the rosary daily. Fight to retain your purity of soul. That is true manliness. Treat females as honorable children of God, not a collection of attractive body parts. It's part of God's plan for men to be attracted by the physical beauty of females, but they should control their lustful desires by focusing on the person, the emotional and spiritual sides of women, and cherish them for who they are inside. My dearly beloved in Christ, the avoidance of spiritual dangers, prayer, self-denial, and vigilance are necessary for all to preserve purity and avoid sins of the flesh. To remain firm in the practice of holy purity according to one's state in life demands constant vigilance, both interior and exterior. All unnecessary dangers are to be avoided. Conversations, contacts, shows, amusements, reading, video games, websites, television programs, magazines that lead one into sin must be avoided. When a person stalks his or her mind with such kinds of images, he or she is responsible for the temptations and sins that follow. My dearly beloved in Christ, chastity thrives on grace and union with God. Spiritual writers insist on the cultivation of a spirit of prayer for those who wish to remain pure. This is not an option, it's essential. We must pray more than ever before if we are to protect our souls from the evils that surround us. There's no half effort in this regard. we live in such evil times, then unless we pray daily, practice self-denial, frequent the Mass and the sacraments, and have a special devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, we most likely will commit mortal sin and end up in hell for all eternity. If this sounds too severe, recall the words of the Blessed Virgin Mary at Fatima when she said, "More souls go to hell for sins of the flesh than for any other reason." In addition, it's absolutely necessary to restrain both our interior and exterior actions so that they're in line with God's laws. Modesty of dress, speech, gesture, and habits are necessary. We must be faithful to these, even in slight little things. For if the devil gets us to make many small compromises, then in time we will likely commit mortal sin. Staying faithful in little things is like an athlete keeping in daily trim so he's ready for the big game. In closing, if there's one virtue more than any other that makes us resemble the angels of God in heaven, it's the virtue of holy modesty. And if there's one virtue more than another that the devil seeks to rob us of, it is that same virtue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.